Welcome to On the Frontline, the Safety Learning and Operations Podcast. My name is Dr. Gina Anderson, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Luma Brighter Learning. Luma helps the transportation and logistics industry save lives through our award-winning connected learning platform because we believe that we are connected, and when you are, you can reduce risk, spark change, and learn with purpose. And that is why we are celebrating the people designing better outcomes for those who move our industries. Stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you could be our next guest to be celebrated in about 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited today to welcome you all to my special guest on the Frontline show today. It's Steve Kepler, and he is the co-director of Scopelitas Transportation Consulting Group. And I will tell you something pretty amazing about Steve is that, well, one of the many things, because you're going to learn all about him today, but when I first met Steve, he was the kindest person that I think that I had really encountered in a long time working in the consulting area. So he always focuses on people first, and you can really tell that. So thank you, Steve, for coming on the front line and being my guest today. I really appreciate it. Why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself to everyone and tell everyone what leading from the front line means to you.
Well, thank you, Gina. I really appreciate those kind words. So I've been around for a little while. I've been in this industry for a long time, and I've been very fortunate. And I'm at the spot in my life and my career where I think we all have something to offer to give back to people. And I think that's how I've tried to conduct my life and my career. And to start, I guess, I've been with STC for about a little over four years now.
Wow.
But I've been in the industry 33 years. I'm showing my age, you can tell from my gray hair and that at least that I have left. But I started my career with FMCSA years ago in the government. And I come from a line of government employees. My wife's employed with the government. My parents were employed with the government. My grandparents were employed with the government. And so that has helped shape my view on a lot of things. And so I started there and I went from there to a couple of different associations in transportation. One, ITS America, dealing with technology and transportation. I was there for a couple of years. And then after I left my government service, and then I went to Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance. And I was there for about 16 years.
Wow.
And the executive director there for six. And I went to the Intermodal Association of North America. Got outside of trucking for a little while, worked with the railroads and the ports and the steamship lines and the 3PLs. I've been very fortunate throughout those opportunities to learn about transportation and learn about people. And because that's what makes our industry go, it's people, right? And really, that's where I come from in my work and leading from the front line. I'm a big sports person. I've always have been since I was, since I could walk. And so that's taught me a lot about people and teams and getting results and realizing. And I go back to, I'll never forget, my high school baseball coach was very well respected coach across the country. And he told us once that the team, you're only as good as your weakest link. And so It's our responsibility to, if we're going to be successful, it's not just about you as an individual, it's about everybody that's on your team. And so, and giving them the tools and the resources to be successful. And as I've went through my career, fortunate to lead several organizations and be in leadership roles, I've always taken that approach. It's about people first, and making sure, and it's about the mission. It's not about you as an individual. It's what are you trying to do as an organization, and really motivating your people to embrace that mission and to do whatever it takes to make your customers be successful, because it's you're successful only if your customers and the people you're serving are successful. And that's really how I approach my work and my personal life, everything I do, because it's you only go around once and you can't take anything with you. And so
that's true.
You want to do your best to leave your mark while you're here.
Absolutely. You're such a giver. I always think about, you know, it's talking about sports. You probably saw the woman at the Phillies game that took the ball from, you know, the, and I think of like givers and takers, and you're definitely a giver. And I do think when you give, you get so much back. Right. And so, you know, I feel it from you, you know, in our organization and working with you, that you truly do focus on the people, and I really appreciate it. Knowing that you've been in the industry for a long time, what do you think, is there anything that you can think of that you would recommend that, you know, maybe we redesign, or maybe there's a tradition we should change? Is there something that you would think that can make it better?
Yeah, I mean, it's historically, as the transportation industry, and particularly in trucking, we oftentimes are very reactive in how we approach. And it's just the nature of the business environment. It's a highly regulated community. And a lot of times people are focused on getting the business done, moving the freight, getting it from point A to point B. And a lot of times it can be a chaotic environment. And you're focusing on what's right in front of you, versus what may be a month down the road or 3 months or a year. And obviously leaders are, you know, that's part of their responsibility when they're leading organizations and boards to help set that path. But a lot of times those conversations don't trickle down into the day-to-day workforce. And so people get caught up in the day-to-day. And as an industry, I think that kind of mantra has been with us for so many years. And I would like to transition that and to really, instead of being reactive, and this goes for the government too. And if you look at regulated community, the government is focused on, in many cases, enforcement and punitive things when people do things wrong, mm-hmm. right? And so that doesn't always change behavior the way we want it to be, right? Maybe it's a temporary step. You're going to plug that hole, right? But if you don't change the behavior to sustain that behavior in the future, people are just gonna make the same mistake over and over. So part of, I think, I'd like to see is both on industry and government is being more collaborative. It's not, we're all working towards the same goal. We want safety. We want safe. We want to get home to our families at night, right? So so understand, and this gets to back to the customer service, understand who you're trying to serve and where are they coming from when they're making decisions. And how can I put myself in their shoes so that I, as I'm making my own decisions, or, you know, that I can account for that the best I can and incentivize the type of behavior and focus on positivity and focus on innovation and focus on leading versus kind of chasing the next thing, right?
Absolutely. I think that is so important. And when I think of the frontline, there's just so much it can teach us. What do you think, in your view, does it teach about humanity?
Well, I go back to the sports analogy, right? You know, we're at the end of the day, we've got all kinds of technology coming into all aspects of our lives. It doesn't matter what sector of the economy you're in, doesn't matter where it's work or play. It's everywhere, right? And so, but life isn't just ones and zeros. Right. It's about people, and it's about people need to still be able to make decisions, and people make errors. Computers make errors. Everyone makes errors from time to time.
It's true.
And it's okay to do that. You know, it's going to happen. The important thing is how do we learn from that, and how do we change that behavior going forward? How do we help others so they don't make the same mistake? And we learn from that, because to me, that's how we progress. That's how we motivate people. That's how we affect change. And that makes everybody better. Like, it's, you know, it's our goal to try and help everyone rise up. It's not just the people at the top. It's not just the people at the bottom. Everyone has a life and a personal life, and we want to make it better for everybody.
I love that. Oh my gosh, you're so, that is so true. I mean, it's like everyone is important. Everybody is important. And so what can we do to lift each other up? Has there been something that you've seen as innovative at your organization at Scopolitis, or maybe somewhere else that maybe came from an unexpected place, like you innovated and you were really excited about it?
You know, it's a really good question. Some of it depends how you define innovation, but you know, I hearken back to COVID and how that upended everything in everybody's life, good, bad, or indifferent. And in the organization I was working for at the time, it was association, and in the our focus was connecting businesses and members and helping them generate business, and a lot of that happened at face to face. Events and so events went away, and so we had to pivot, and okay, what it really helped us step back and how do we connect as an organization to our customer base. So we did a whole rebranding effort. You know, we got to back to basics and said, okay, what do we need? And we really shifted towards, you know, certainly still providing those services, but really innovating on education and how can we extend our members or customers' business in this fragmented world we live in today? And so it was, and it, those, I, you know, those ideas, I've always felt good ideas can come from anywhere in an organization, right? We shouldn't discount anything, and people shouldn't be, you know, thought negatively for throwing ideas out. I mean, it's a safe place. It's okay to take risks. And we're on the same team. And so we're going to help define those decisions and help, how can we add value to those decisions? How can we as a team make that thought better? Right. And so, and that's the way, I think, you know, I've got other examples through other organizations, but that's what I think was a defining moment that everybody can relate to, because everybody went through it. Right.
Yeah, that is true. It's true. You know, I was just talking to someone last week about how it was like COVID. And then after COVID, it's like that was a period of time that changed. I mean, there's been really fundamental times in all of our lives that we can remember. And I think that created a lot of opportunity for innovation because we had to.
You're right. And I, you know, on a related point, I think, you know, kind of on the kind of the program side, like how affecting change kind of in our work world beyond that. You know, when I worked for CBSA, we launched a couple programs that really were more outside the norm for enforcement people to think about. Mm. Right? And you're familiar with the Operation Safe Driver program that kind of CBSA runs, and that was a different approach because to that before that time, enforcement was focused on enforcement or enforcing the regs. And that was a different approach because we step back, and this is when it comes to leadership, it's okay, what are we trying to solve? Or what is the problem, right? And the problem with that was, well, in large truck crashes, 70% of the time, it's not the fault of the truck driver. It's somebody else, like the car driver. Mm-hmm. So even if we do the best we can with all the truck drivers, we're only going to get part of the problem. So they really stepped back and said, you know what, let's rethink how we approach how we can get our message out and focus on other aspects that are tied to our mission that we hadn't really been thinking about heretofore. So, I mean, just things like that, and focusing on facts, focusing on, okay, well, what's our broader role here, getting outside of yourself, and how can we influence others to get to that goal in a way that's not confrontational, it's a way that's supportive, in a way that's empowering to people.
Mm-hmm. So impactful. 10 years from now, Steve, what do you hope people remember about your legacy and what you leave behind in the industry?
Wow. That's a good question. You know, I'm hopeful that, you know, a lot of times, like I said, our industry, we've been very reactive from time to time, and a lot of times people point fingers at, you know, it's not my fault, it's someone else's. You know, and I would like to think that, you know, I've helped empower people to be accountable, right? Give them the tools to be successful. And so don't don't point fingers. Take it upon yourself to make a difference, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody can make a difference in somebody's life, right? Even if you save one life, you've made a difference. And you know what? If you can't, don't have to change the whole world, but if you can save one person's life or influence on one person's life, mm-hmm. you know, that can be spread to others, because that becomes a domino effect. And I'm hopeful that I can empower people to feel that it's okay to do that and to take risks.
Absolutely. I have a question for you. Is there any sports team that has a pelican as their mascot?
Oh, good question. I don't know.
I'm going to have to research that.
Yes.
I'm going to definitely have to research that. Well, I wanted to bring you on today because you say we should make an impact in one person's life. And I want you to know that you've had an impact on my life personally and my team's life personally. And I know you don't always get the spotlight at Scope Elitis, because you might not be the loudest voice in the room, but you are not chasing applause or titles, but you're the one that shows up time and time again. I know for me and for Luma and for others in the industry. And so I wanted to start my podcast. I created a pelican. I don't know if you've seen it, but you're going to get a pelican with your name on it, because I like to honor quiet heroes, or people who lead from the heart, who carry the weight of others, who don't ask for anything in return. I don't know, Steve, if you know about the pelican, but I chose it for a reason, because in Charleston, you see them a lot. They're out and about. And they actually live and they hunt in groups, and they don't really do much in isolation, but through community and connection. And so to me, they really represent what you represent, which is teamwork, people, social bonds, and the balance between receiving but truly giving. And so today I honor you with my Pelican Award because you embody all of these traits. You always see the strength in other people and you lift them higher and you give others without any ego, and who you lead from the front, but you always lead from within the community. So I know, Steve, that your work doesn't always make headlines, but your impact is personal to me. It's personal to others and it's powerful. So today I honor you, Steve, for the way that you move people forward quietly and purposely, for the community that you've built over the 30 years that you've been in the industry, for the balance that you bring and the lives you've changed just by being who you are in you. So congratulations, you are our Pelican, and I am so honored to have had the opportunity to meet and work with you, and I commend you for all you do for the industry. So thank you.
Wow. Thank you very much, Gina. I can say the same for you. I mean, it's been a pleasure to learn. I learned from you too. You are such a big star in our industry and are changing so many lives. And it's our pleasure to be able to work with and support you in that mission. Because it takes a village, right? And I think you represent that village through all the things you're doing. And we're just happy to be along for the ride and just help in one small, meaningful way. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you for being our Pelican and coming on my show.
Dr. Gina Anderson here. Thank you so much for listening to On the Frontline, the Safety, Learning, and Operations podcast. If you are a successful director, VP, or C-level executive, and you're solving some of the toughest challenges in training, engagement, and risk reduction, we would love to have you on this show. Please visit podcast@learningwithgina.com and apply to be a guest. If you got something out of this interview, would you share the episode for me on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend, or just post it on your social media channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, and use the hashtag on the frontline. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. It means so much to me. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content, so make sure you don't miss an episode and go ahead and hit subscribe if you like it. Your thumbs up, ratings, and review go a long way to help promote my show, and it means a lot to me and my team. You want to know more? Go to our website, learningwithgina.com or lumabrighterlearning.com, and follow me on LinkedIn and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.